going to get right back into it. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer. Lori's got some stuff going on she wants us to hear, and I want to hear it. So we're going to cut the music short there, and we're going to get right back with Lori. We got Gary and possibly Chris waiting back there in the wing. So, Chris, chime in anytime.
I'm still here.
Hey, Chris, how are you, buddy? Hang in there with us. We got Lori tonight, so I want to give her as much time as possible. So, Lori, we're just going to get right back over to you. Here we go with Lori Anderson again. Thanks, Lori, for joining us. Continue where you left off, Lori.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And hi, Chris and Gary. Good to be here as well, Eric.
Oh, yeah.
So after the show aired with Tim Brown on the Sons of Liberty radio show, Eric and his wife, Andrea Parker, were joined with the show as well. After that happened, one-third of the representatives of Idaho, the state in which Parker and Drexler live, penned a letter to the Attorney General Jeff Sessions asking him to relax the pursuit by the Nevada prosecutors against four Idahoans who are charged or have been convicted in the 2014 Bundy Ranch standoff in Nevada. The letter was authored by State Representative Dorothy Moon, and you're going to hear from her in just a moment, and signed a court by this article by 24 Idaho representatives. Now, I do know since then it has been stated by Representative Dorothy Moon, there are now 34 legislators signed on, and the list is growing. So that is excellent news. They stated, quote, "We believe that the decision by the current U.S. attorney to Nevada to prosecute these men a third time represents disrespect for the rule of law and the jury system. The four men these representatives are standing up for are Ammon Bundy of Emmett, Eric Parker of Haley, Scott Drexler of Challis, and Todd Engel of Boundary County." So she also stated that we are tasked with the responsibility to protect our citizens' constitutional rights, unquote. The letter stated, noting that the Idaho legislators has a high respect for the rule of law. Quote, "We believe that the right to a speedy trial and the presumption of innocence are essential pillars of law, order, and a Republican form of government." Quote, unquote. The letter continues, "We also believe that the trial by jury of one's peers is the highest form of justice as set forth by our founders, ensuring government stays within the bounds of its proper constitutional role, empowers the people through a jury's verdict to give clear guidance as to their will." They then spoke out about the innocence of the defendants who have already been tried and found not guilty. Quote, "We the undersigned believe that in the case of the Bunkerville standoff trials in the state of Nevada, in which Eric Parker and O. Scott Drexler of the state of Idaho were charged with 40 criminal counts in connection with the above case, having been found not guilty, speaks volumes to the public of their innocence," unquote. The later states, quote, "The U.S. attorneys have been unsuccessful obtaining guilty verdicts not once, but twice, establishing criteria for dismissal of charges against them according to our standards of justice. Further exploitation of these citizens would be an affront to justice and notice to the public of prosecutorial harassment," unquote.
Beautiful.
Excellent. So, now I have a clip to share with you. This is Representative Dorothy Moon, her and Scott Drexler on 9/6/2017, which was just a couple of days ago. This happened on the 6th. I'm not playing anything with Mr. Drexler in it. However, the link to the video will be provided because this is only a short clip. But I want you to hear her. This is the type of representatives that we need. This is what we need, because yes, we understand there's a difference between de jure and de facto, but we have to pray for them, we have to reach out to them, and we have to realize it's not going to change overnight. We have had corruption in this union for 200 years. It's not going to stop in 6 months. If you would, Mike, go ahead and play that clip.
First of all, as your legislator, there have been a lot of things behind the scenes that you're not probably aware of, but it's all coming to light this week with an article that was put out by the Las Vegas Review-Journal in response to a letter that I wrote and got 34 other legislators to sign. I don't know if I'm supposed to do that sort of thing, but I was compelled to, and I'll get to that in just a minute. When I was first sworn in December 1st of last year, one of the first things I wanted to do was go down and see Scott. Now, Scott, I think we've known each other 10 years, maybe 9, 10 years now, for quite a while. And it was something I wanted to do, was to go see him down in Pahrump and to go meet all the other Idaho detainees at the same time. And at the time, I thought there were four. So Dar and I drove down the 16th of December. It was a pretty snowy day. There's a lot of snow on Highway 93. And I remember that the radio station that we picked up was so supportive of these guys. They were coming on and talking about the Constitution and how these guys had been incarcerated and what they were standing for at the Bunkerville standoff. And I thought, well, this is great. This is pretty positive. So anyway, we get down there, and these guys only get 1 hour of visitation a week. 1 hour. Luckily, I've sent Scott and I think Ammon a letter and asked them to please save their hour for me and Dar to meet with them. So we get down there on Saturday and go to Pahrump and met with Scott first and then Ammon. And I'd never met him, but I wanted to meet Ammon because Ammon's another one of my constituents. He lives in Jim County. So he's in Emmett. So I've got two of the five that are my constituents. So yes, I now have a very vested interest in their well-being. So Sunday I said, well, I guess I should come back. We should come back tomorrow and see the other two. And they said, no, there's three. I said, three? And they said, yeah, there's Eric Parker, and there's Todd Engel, and there's Steve Stewart. I said, I don't know that it's Steve Stewart. Anyway, Steve Stewart was friends of Eric. And he lives in Haley also. And so anyway, we met with those three, and I met with Ammon again. And I will tell you right now, meeting with Ammon, he has been one of the most outstanding people I have ever met. And a very intellectual explanation of multiple use of lands and how it used to be when we were a territory and in early statehood, the way he explains it needs to be taught in schools. I thought, boy, that was just clear as all get out. So Ammon is a very smart man, and I'm proud to be trying to help him out as well as the other Idahoans. After that trip, I immediately went back and talked to Attorney General Wasden, and I wanted to speak to Attorney General Wasden and say, and what could we do? As a state, what can we do to help our five Idahoans? He said, Dorothy, we can do nothing. I said, why nothing? He said, well, it's like a train track. You have federal and you have state, and nowhere do they intermix or cross. I said, okay. So I crossed off the old AG. I thought, okay, I'll take him off my list because I knew I wouldn't get anywhere there. The two that I was aware of at the time was that Clive and Bundy and Andy were hiring counsel. So they were the ones who had to fund funds to be able to pay for their lawyers. In May, did a fundraiser for the Ammon Bundy Defense Fund. We also sent out multiple, and some of you probably see some of those emails where we're asking you to send money down to the Bundy Defense Fund also that Carol was trying to raise and would disseminate out to some of the folks. So there's a lot of generosity in this room, and I really do appreciate it. After that time, I decided, okay, I'm going to have to write Attorney General session. So June 1st, and this was right after Trump had returned from Europe. Remember, he was gone for a couple of weeks, and I thought, I'm going to send a letter to AG Sessions, to Trump, copy it to Trump, and then, those two, and then our congressional delegation. And I was asking to please help my friend Scott Drexler, who I've known from Chalice for years, and to help Ammon Bundy, because they're my constituents. And then I said, there's three other men from Idaho we need to help too. That was June 1st. I got the certified receipt back on the 7th. I got a letter on August 15th, right before Eclipse weekend. So they posted it August 15th. I received it in my mail on the 22nd, which I believe is the same day the second trial ended. So anyway, I was involved that way. I also was in Vegas and went to their trial on the first verdict reading. And I kind of missed that part of it. But what was interesting was, I've never been to a federal court. Well, not a federal court. And when I went in there, I had my cell phone on me, and the marshals were pretty upset. And I had my badge. It said Representative Dorothy Moon, but I wasn't getting any points at all. I was trying whatever I could to get into the room. I wanted to go in and see what was happening. And the one fellow, he said, you can't go in. You need to go put your cell phone in the car. I said, I don't have my car here. I did an Uber over here. Well, you can't be up here. You can't have a cell phone. Well, then it did. The only thing it said was you cannot have a cell phone in the courtroom. I said, excuse me, sir. It says right here, no cell phone in the courtroom. I'm okay on this floor. And I thought, really, I'm going to get in a fight with a marshal over a cell phone. So then this other marshal came over. He said, ma'am, I'll take your cell phone for you. So I did get to go into the courtroom. And then what I saw was pretty interesting. And just as Scott said, Gloria Navarro, the judge, is pretty easy to read. So they get out a scorecard like this, and I'll have to make Scott a copy. He doesn't have one. So it lists the charges, and it has Greg Burleson, and there's Scott, and then Todd, and Ricky Lovely, and Eric Parker, and Stephen Stewart. So she gets a packet, an envelope with all these papers in it, and Andrea did a better job of explaining all this because she's been through it for such a long time. But the judge starts flipping through it, blank, blank, blank. About the fifth blank, her face looks over at the foreman, jury foreman, and like, what is going on here? Anyway, and as Scott did explain, Greg Burleson was found with some charges, as was Todd Engel, who's one of our guides. He's from Boundary County, so I'm very concerned about him, too. His sentencing for these charges have been brought up onto September 28th, and I believe it was supposed to be a July date, but he pushed them off in fear of getting probably a very high sentence. So that'll be one that we need to track and to follow. So after I got the letter from Sessions, it was a perfect storm, and this is where the legislature now is involved. So the response from the Attorney General's office, because we were asking for a meeting with Sessions, and that we had about 5 to 6 Western legislators who would fly out in a heartbeat to meet with him, just give us an hour. And give us 2 weeks to arrange the flights so we could get out there at the same time. And in the letter it says, it's an unwritten policy that the DOJ's office does not meet with anyone when there is a pending case. Well, the case was no longer pending for these guys because we just had our second round of acquittals and a hung jury with 11-1 to acquit. That was just right on the 22nd, I believe. And then I called the AG's office to the man who wrote the letter, and I asked him if we would now be able to meet with Attorney General Sessions. He said, well, I'm not aware that the trial's over. I said, yes, it is. And I think that it's time for us to meet because I understand they're considering a third trial. And he said, well, I can't talk to you about it. I said, how many times are you going to try these guys? 5, 6, 7, until you get some guilty sentence? Is that what it is? And he didn't say anything. And I said, well, let me ask you this much, because with my first letter that I mailed on June 1st, I had 12 other legislators sign on very quickly. And I said, are in the office, is Attorney General Sessions aware that their Idaho legislators upset with what's going on with their citizens? He said, yes, we do know that the AG's office is aware. I said, great, I guess that's all we need for now. So I hung up, and then afterward I found out they were going to do a pretrial hearing. So fast forward to this letter. On the 27th, I found out the date was the 31st, and I wanted to get a letter out as fast as possible. So I wrote something up on the 27th, sent it over to Representative Judy Boyle, who is our agricultural chair in the legislature, and she approved it, added a few comments, and then we started calling legislators. We were very lucky to get 34 of them on the phone in the middle of summer. And we added their names to the letter, and then we also said, well, let's grab some retired legislators. So Lenore Barrett signed on. We got Joanne Wood. We got Pete Nielsen. So Pete also signed on. And then we got two senators, Senator Monty Pierce and also Senator Cheryl Nexel. These are all very good conservative retired legislators. So they signed on and the letter went out. Well, I called Scott. I said, Scott, can I get the email for your attorney? And I wanted to send it to them. Now, this letter went out not only to Sessions, copied to Trump, copied to our four congressional leaders. I can't wait to hear what they have to say. Copied it also to the Judiciary Committee head, Congressman Goodlatte. He's got it now. He's the chair of that committee, and also to Grassley, who's the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. So they know what the heck's going on. We've got a situation where due process is not working too well in this court. It's an obvious political type of situation where they just want to get these men, and it all counts. So the third trial seemed very excessive, and that's why we were able to get these legislators to jump on board. The letter was received. Todd Leventhal filed it with the court right before the hearing, so everybody knew the letter was there. I understand from Carol Bundy, and I don't know if you can verify this, Andrea and Scott, but Carol Bundy said that the judge and the prosecutor were a little more subdued than normal. So I don't know if maybe there is something coming down from higher up. I can only hope they're thinking what's going on. I want you to be aware that there's other letters that are out there from other big groups. I'm not going to talk about them right now until I know that the letter is in the hand of the AG's office. One is a big coalition of very conservative people. That's a multi-state group. I know there's a think tank group that is putting together a letter also. And one of the very exciting ones is Klayman. First name?
Larry
Klayman. And Larry Klayman is spectacular. He used to work for the DOJ, and he is also one of the founders of Judicial Watch. So he has been really in tune on this, and he wrote a very scathing letter to Sessions that what is going on here is pretty much what it says. So here we have a perfect storm of all these letters coming together, the audacity of trying to file charges for a third time when they've been proven guilty two times is not innocent. I'm sorry. I'm innocent. I'm sorry. Can we turn that off? I'm going to be a comic after I'm a legislator. But no, they were found innocent two times, and it is ridiculous to file and go through another court date with them again. In talking to the Las Vegas Review-Journal reporter, we had a pretty good talk, and it was a very favorable article toward these men. He said that he cannot understand how they would try to put all these men together in front of one jury. They're going to have a really good score sheet to keep all of this straight. It's going to be very difficult, I think, to keep these two with almost no charges, with everybody else with multiple charges. I do plan on being down there. I've already booked my flights. I've booked my room, and Representative Judy Boyle will be with me. We're going down the 15th. Court date is the 16th. We will be there for the first 4 days of court anyway. And then we've got some other dates scheduled to be down there also. So we're going to be highly involved from this point forward. I do want to let you know that I've got these maps of Idaho, and I was trying to highlight really fast as folks were coming in. But you can see right here, this big yellow one is District 8. So your three representatives, your two representatives and Senator Thame and Representative Gestrin are supporting getting these men out. Also, we have Steve Vick and Vito Barbieri, and Eric Redmond just signed on, so we have all of District 2. Ever since I sent this letter, I saw on Facebook that some of these representatives were not called because Judy and I were flying through the roster of names. And so I did send out a letter yesterday at 5, and I said that I understand some of you would like to sign this letter, so please let me know by email if you would like to add your name. And since that letter, within 5 minutes, Eric Redman did sign on. And then another one that signed on from District 12 was Robert Andhurst. And I think there's another one from Idaho Falls who's ready to jump on. As soon as we get 50%, I'm going for 50%. I've even asked the Democrats. I'm asking all of them. We've got to bring our guys home. We've got to get these charges dropped. These two men, Eric Parker and Scott Drexler, they're done as far as I'm concerned. This is an absolute waste of time. The $1.2 million it costs to try one of these cases because of all the public defenders, all of the witnesses, not to mention the two dozen marshals that are sitting in the courtroom. So there's a lot of cost to this, and it isn't fair that the taxpayers continually pay for things because of someone's political agenda. So we have to keep fighting. I think now with all of these letters going in, I think we've got Sessions' attention. I know this came out in every Idaho newspaper so far. Now is the time to write letters. If any of you want to pick one of these up with the yellow highlighted ones who did send in their names, go on that letter, thank them or email them. You can go to the legislative website and say thank you for supporting our men. We want them home. And do that. And then they'll tell their counterparts in their district, you know, maybe we should be signing on to this. So as soon as we get 50%, we'll do another press release, and we'll let them know that we're gaining traction. I am aware, I just found out yesterday, that other Western states are taking the letter that was written, and they're going to model that letter, and they're going to get their own legislators to sign on too. So if we keep the social media, and I agree with you, the Facebook thing, I'm paranoid. In fact, I've got the wrong birth date on mine. March 24th, I get all these happy birthdays. I'm going, why does everybody tell me happy birthday?
I'm 90 years old.
Okay, that is good news. Excellent news.
So
yeah, that's really good. That is good. We're seeing a unified front develop. The stupid, idiotic witches are creating a giant unified front for freedom, and it's going to destroy them in the end.
Well, some of the statements that were made in the letter, I'm going to read a couple of more of them, and then I'm going to get to some other good news. It says, quote, "We believe the decision by the current U.S. Attorney of Nevada to prosecute these men a third time represents a disrespect for the rule of law and the jury system." The representatives wrote, "A third trial would show blatant disregard for tax funds collected from hardworking, law-abiding citizens who are represented by these juries who have found them innocent of 34 or 40 charges and hung by the very slimmest margins in those where the jury stood deadlocked. The decisions of 10-2 to acquit in the first trial and 11-1 to acquit in the second trial highlights the narrow margin by which the prosecution hopes to continue their attack." They then called on Sessions, the court, and the prosecutor to consider Todd Engle's time served as punishment for the minor charges for which he was found guilty. He is scheduled to be sentenced on September the 28th. Ammon Bundy, this is a quote, "Ammon Bundy, an Idaho resident, remains in custody while awaiting trial directly after the final outcome of the pending prosecution's decision with Parker and Drexler." The letter adds, quote, "Ammon has been in custody since January of 2016 without benefit of bail or the comfort of home and family in spite of being found not guilty of all counts in the Oregon trial. Ammon has been stripped of normal due process for a prosecution that now seems flimsy as we discover evidence exposed during these previous hung trials of others for similar offenses," unquote. The representatives then added, quote, "This prosecution sends a chilling message to the public who are concerned about federal overreach in their daily lives that is inharmonious to well-established constitutional guarantees. The percentages of jurors causing the hung verdicts in these trials should send a clear signal to the government prosecutors of the jury's resistance to further prosecute these defendants and has clearly been received by the public. The representatives then call on Sessions to have those in charge of this case end this long enduring action and set Eric Parker and Scott Drexler free, set reasonable bail for Ammon Bundy, and allow Todd Engle to use his time served as total sentencing." If you want to read the rest of the article on that, you can find that on my Google Plus. All you have to put in is lorianderson.com, LORIANDERSON.com, and then just click on the collection for Resurrect the Republic RTR Truth Radio broadcast. So that's some more of the good news that I'm bringing to you all tonight. And there, what do you think about that, Eric? Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's a good deal. It's good to see that some people there's still some slivers of government somewhere that are freedom focused on the real important issues. You know, I'm not worried about Donald Trump's trip down to grandstand at the Hurricane Relief Center. This is so more important. And listen, Sessions is not some neutral, well-intentioned person who just needs to be convinced and swayed and if we just present him with our case, he'll see the light and understand. He'll end up doing the right thing. He is totally and completely 100% in bed with the enemy. He's fully on board and completely for as much prosecution and persecution against patriots as possible. That's
right,
where he lies.
We need to quit focusing on them, Eric, because if we focus on the jury, I said we need to quit focusing so much on them and focus on getting it done at the local level.
Absolutely. You know me, I'm pimping the jury nullification flyer like no tomorrow, and also sovereign counties that are unincorporated and self-governing.
Right. And so the more people that start getting on board, and the more the people within the communities and the states pick up and get involved, even learn your rights, your jury nullification rights. That's huge. That's a huge blow to any corrupt government. They do not like
that. Where it all stops.
Exactly. Exactly. Do you remember, let's see, Judge Roy Moore?
Yeah.
You remember? Okay.
Yeah, a little bit of an Arpaio-style neocon, but decent, generally a decent guy, I guess. I mean, you know, but how long has he been wearing the cape of the witch? How long has he been adjudicating cases where the state is a victim, which is a farce and a lie? How much has he been pimping the drug war? I got a lot of problems with Arpaio.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Moore, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, Roy Moore, he's running for the Senate for a candidate, and he came out openly and stated that, quote, parents know best how to educate their children. He is for getting the federal government out of the education of our children, which I am glad to hear about that. On that, he said, education has always been the purview of the parent. They know best how to educate their children. The states have various forms of education, but the federal government has no involvement in education under the Constitution. And he is correct. He's correct. The reality is, if you check the state constitutions, neither do the states.
How about getting everybody's title to their house back in their private hands, and also ending the drug war and a whole bunch of other government atrocities? I think he's like everybody else, Reagan, Ford, Trump. They're going to give you some conservative, good sounding, reasonable, rational stuff, and then they're going to stick the knife in your back with some kind of war against the people, or some kind of state's going to be a victim, private property seizure. I don't trust him, and
but you don't have to trust him. But even a clock is right twice a day. And on that note, we'll go to break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
The smoke is rising in the shadows overhead.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back to the broadcast, my friends. Welcome back. We're going to get right back into it. We appreciate Lori on tonight. We have Lori and Gary and Chris. You guys chime in at any time. Lori's talking about Mr. Moore what state is he in, Alabama or Louisiana?
Alabama,
yeah. You know, Lori and I might disagree, and that's fine. We love all the different points of view on this broadcast. I'm not the biggest fan of Moore. I know he sounds good. He gives you some conservative talk, but ultimately it's just a sprinkle tinkle, just a little bit, like a dash of salt on your meal. You're just going to get a little bit from him. I find it absurd that he would put the Ten Commandments over his court and then put on the robe of the Luciferian witch and adjudicate cases and purport the lie that the state is a victim and all this other garbage. He seems like the ultimate hypocrite. And it's an abomination what he did to dress up like a Satanist underneath the Ten Commandments. But back to you.
Okay, so some other news as well. Remember Wednesday when we were discussing Officer Payne, the one who attacked the nurse, assaulted the nurse? Well, apparently, his part-time job found out what he did. It has been reported by Republic Broadcasting that Salt Lake City Police Detective Officer Payne, whose arrest of a university hospital nurse sparked a worldwide outcry, was fired on Tuesday from his part-time position at Gold Cross Ambulance. Gold Cross officials said that Jeff Payne's termination was effective immediately. Although Jeff was not working for Gold Cross Ambulance at the time of the incident, we take his inappropriate remarks regarding patient transports seriously, the company said in a statement. We acknowledge those concerned individuals who have contacted us regarding this incident and affirm our commitment to serving all members of the community with kindness and respect. We will continue to maintain our values of outstanding patient-focused care, safety, and the complete trust of the communities we serve, unquote. Payne also remained on paid administrative leave from the Salt Lake Police Department on Tuesday for his role in the arrest of nurse Alex Webbles on July 26. So, as always, you know, when the old saying goes, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and it's coming back to biting. And I completely understand why they would fire him. He, even though he wasn't on the job with them at the time that he did this position.
He needs to get fired, and he needs to get fired from his job as a supposed police officer as well. This is why we don't have
that.
This is why Erica Freedom Screamers always say there's no such thing as police or law enforcement or LEOs. In a free republic, you're going to suffer a nightmare. Peace officers only. Unfortunately, there's no money to be made for the incorporated police departments off peace officering, so they got to go out and do militarized ecclesiastic force upon us formerly free people.
Right. Well, you know, there are...
And I think he should be fired. He should be fired from his job as a cop, as well as the ambulance driver. He should be blacklisted, and he should be cleaning toilets at, you know, a rest area somewhere. That would be good for him, and it would be good for the rest of the public to stick him in a place where he won't be able to hurt anybody anymore. His right to carry a firearm should be revoked and leave the rest of us alone. It's absurd and obscene what's going on, and anybody who thinks he's, you know, this is a rare, exceptionally minor, very rare. This is the exception. This is not the exception. This is the rule. This is going on nationwide. Not everybody out on the street has the luxury of having a camera around to capture everything and have everything perfectly videoed where they can see the police abusing them. 95% of it takes place in the shadows, so to speak, and gets swept under the rug by the witch's court, which claims that somehow the government agents can do no wrong. Yeah, I'm sure that in Germany, too, right there, China and the Soviet Union, sure. Every place in the world, we have found that the government does the most wrong, and the witch's court has the audacity to dress up like Luciferians and claim the government agents can do no wrong. So once again, the upside-down absurdity. Lori, back to you.
Well, I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention and let them know that although he may not be fired from the police department as of yet, it is coming back to bite him on the way that he has acted, and rightfully so. Now, I don't know if y'all know the name Imran Awan, but Imran Awan was the IT tech specialist that was worked for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. He also had access at different points and times to almost 70 representatives, Democratic representatives, and they had at one point stopped him from being in the House. He is not American. He is Pakistani. And so what happened was, I'm kind of giving you a little bit of a backdrop before I read to you this new information so that you can know.
This is important. I've heard of this guy. This is important. This is good stuff. Go ahead, Lori.
Right. He had access to top secret documents, access to congressional information that is supposed to be classified and secret, and all of this stuff. He had access to those computers. Well, and I don't remember which date, but it was, I believe it was about 2 months ago. I may be mistaken on that, maybe 3 months ago. He was caught trying to flee the country because there was an investigation into which stemmed out of the email scandals, by the way, and the WikiLeaks and the different things that were going on with the DNC emails and all this good little stuff. Well, there was an investigation, and they were really looking hard at Imran Awan. Imran Awan then tried to enter the airport to take off and leave and go back to Pakistan, and the feds caught up with him at the airport and arrested him. Now, we fast forward to the latest news. This was reported yesterday. It says that prosecutors have given Imran Awan a copy of the hard drive of a House laptop that Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz tried to keep law enforcement from looking at. Now, if you remember, there was a video that went viral where Debbie Wasserman Schultz...
Hey, Lori, hold on a sec. Tell our listeners who this Wasserman woman is.
Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, if you remember during the elections, she was over the Democratic National Committee. She was the one that was the top-notch person. I believe she was considered the chairperson, if I'm not mistaken. And she was the one who is also Hillary Clinton's right-hand person. In a lot of her emails that were leaked through WikiLeaks and different things like that, it showed that she was colluding and working against Bernie Sanders. And during the Democratic National Convention, a lot of the Democratic Bernie Sanders supporters found out about what was going on, to the point that they were out there protesting, and the Democratic National Committee wouldn't allow the votes for the Bernie Sanders Democrats at all, to the point they put a fence outside, and even it's kind of funny.
It's kind of like what the Republicans did to Ron Paul.
I don't know. Did they put a fence outside of Ron Paul?
Well, I mean, I don't know about the fence thing, but I mean, locked them out, generally speaking.
Oh, they absolutely locked them out. They not only locked the doors, they got them out of there. They had a huge, tall fence and kept them from going in. It was a huge, huge deal. Well, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, after it had gotten reported and everything was going on, she was terminated as the head of the DNC, and of course Clinton immediately hired her on her quote-unquote campaign to help with her campaign. This man is the one who helped with all of their laptops, hard drives, IT things, and he was connected with a lot of congressional representatives. So that's who Debbie Wasserman Schultz is. She's a very corrupt individual. If you don't know, I'll go into it on a different night with that.
Okay, so, yep, head of the DNC, corrupt Wasserman, and she's her top man is fleeing the country with the evidence. Where does he stand now?
Mm-hmm. So this is what has been reported as of yesterday. It says that the hard drive copy was included in discovery, even though the Florida Democrat has said the laptop contains House information on it and is a government-paid work computer. And even though Imran was fired and banned from the House network because of suspected cybersecurity violations, Imran left the laptop with the username RepDWS in a phone booth in circumstances that suggest it was not accidentally forgotten there. Alongside it, he left a copy of his ID and letters to the U.S. attorney that ensured it would be treated as evidence instead of simply returned as a missing laptop. Remember those missing laptops everybody was talking about?
Yeah, well, I know the Department of Homeland Gestapo also years ago lost dozens, if not hundreds, were gone missing. Us, so you know, when the computer gets left in a phone booth, conveniently in a perfect spot with a copy of the document, and that's going to a foreign intelligence service, most likely one of them under the Jesuits. You know, you can speculate all you want, I guess, but like you said, that was not left there accidentally.
Well, if you remember a couple of months back, Debbie Wasserman Schultz got exposed for meeting with the police officer and the threat, basically a veiled threat to the police officer because he wouldn't give her back the computer. This is the computer that she was trying to keep out of the hands of the police.
Right.
So it states, Imran entered a House office building the night of April the 6th, 2 months after he was banned by House authorities from touching its network, and placed the laptop, a copy of his ID, and letters to the U.S. attorney in a phone booth, according to a police report. There would be little reason to enter the phone booth, and it would be difficult to forget items there. Imran also left in the phone booth a notebook that said attorney-client privilege, which could be excuse me.
Yeah, that stuff did not get left accidentally. That was obviously a passing of secret information from one government to another corporation or another government, which are usually one and the same.
Well, it goes on to say, I apologize, everyone. Eric, take over for just a moment.
Yeah, no problem. Lori's talking about the corrupt Democratic National Corporation. Don't forget, when someone uses the word DNC, it does not stand for Democratic National Committee. It stands for Democrat National Corporation. Just like the Republican RNC, that's the Republican National Corporation. Once the two political parties filed their letters of incorporation, they became private entities with shareholders, stakeholders, for sale to the highest bidder. Who do you think that is? It's certainly not us, the American people. It's going to be their largest corporate banking establishment donors, and that's the way it is. So the most important thing we can do for solutions at the local level is unincorporate your town, unincorporate your county. I mean, if you're in a big city in the county, you know, it's going to be very difficult. I would recommend, you know, trying to get your life, look at your future plans to try to get to a place where you could be in a smaller county that either is unincorporated. And there are many that are not. Apparently, there's a bunch of them in Nevada that are not incorporated. Apparently, the county, from what I understand, the county where the Bundys are being held in Pahrump, Nevada, which is Nye County, NYE, I believe that's not incorporated. Unfortunately, the sheriff is acting like it is and is not doing very much to exercise, I believe it's a she, her authority to be the supreme chief law enforcement, chief peace officer in the county or subdivision that they're in. And if it's not incorporated, it would not be too difficult for the sheriff to say, you will release these people now. They are not accused of any violent crime, and absent a victim, there is no lawful cause to hold them, no matter what the federal attorney says, who actually has no jurisdiction in an unincorporated county. It's not beholden to the feds in any way at all. The sheriffs are mostly intimidated and scared. They're not willing to exercise the authority that they really lawfully have to demand, to command that the doors of those prison cells swing open, and the people who are nonviolent, accused of anything nonviolent or being denied bail unlawfully, that's an easy one for a sheriff to say, let them out now. And they're going to say no, and you say, okay, as soon as you step off the grounds of this correctional facility, you're going to be under arrest. So I hope you have a nice stay in your own prison, Mr. Prison Guard, Mr. Prison Warden. And that's the way it should be, and that's the way it will be in the future. This stuff doesn't last forever. All the tyrannies collapse and fall. Unfortunately, the world... Well, unfortunately for us, fortunately for the enemy, they had a big, big world with a lot of places to flee to. Rome went up north into northern Europe. Europe metastasized. into England and the British Empire, which extended over and is now back in control of the United States of America Corporation, the banking establishment out of London, and the Committee of 300. Gary Cohn is on the Committee of 300, and he's also one of Trump's top economic advisors in the White House. That tells you right there, their loyalties are not to the people, us, it's to the British and banking establishment. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Lori. Are you with us?
Yes, you very much. I apologize, everyone. I have a slight cold.
okay.
But anyway, it was let known that Imran also left in the phone book a notebook that said attorney-client privilege, which would be reason why the prosecutor gave Imran's lawyers a copy of what would be Wasserman Schultz's laptop. So he had Wasserman Schultz's laptop. Prosecutors said they were giving him a copy under the legal process of discovery, in which defendants have a right to evidence being used against them. He has only been charged with bank fraud crimes relating to trying to flee the country with cash, which is why its inclusion in discovery suggests prosecutors intend to bring charges related to the underlying cybersecurity and theft probe. Imran's lawyer, Wasserman Schultz, and many in the media have said misconduct involving Imran goes no further than bank fraud, but the timeline makes clear that a serious criminal investigation into those house issues was impetus for the moves. And the notebook also included case details and letters about the apparent owner of the bag being investigated well before he was accused of bank fraud. An August 31st letter from the prosecutors to Imran's attorney reads, the U.S. v. Imran Awan, case number 17-CR-161, for all you sleuths out there that want to keep up with that case, is case number 17-CR-161. It says, Dear Mr. Page, enclosed, please find a forensic image of the hard drive, which was recovered from the Longworth House office building on April 6, 2017, and a forensic image of the laptop computer, which was seized from your client at the time of his arrest. Also enclosed, please find copies of materials from the notebook and laptop bag, which also were recovered from the Longworth House office building on April 6, 2017. Please let us know if you have any questions or concerns. Sincerely, Channing D. Phillips, United States Attorney. So, as Wasserman Schultz frantically fought to stop police from looking at the laptop's hard drive, for more than 2 months, police have been telling her that they suspected him of cybersecurity breaches, including what she called data transfer violations, unquote. But she maintained that she thought the police were picking on him and wanted to protect his due process, even though she knew how serious cyber breaches can be because she was head of the DNC when its emails were released last year. Imran had access to all the emails and files of dozens of House Democrats. The bizarre refusal of members of Congress to criticize Imran, no matter how many suspicious actions are tied to him, raises questions about whether members may be afraid that he could release their emails if they assist in his prosecution, or that some could be implicated in kickback scheme involving disappearing equipment and ghost employees. David Dameron, a spokesman for the Florida lawmaker, declined to tell the Daily Caller News Foundation why Wasserman Schultz would still be so adamant the allegations against Imran were made up even after Imran apparently took her laptop late at night and left it where it would be found, alongside other seemingly carefully curated evidence. So what you also need to know, when this stuff started hitting the fan, before I get more into this article, before this started hitting the fan, before her husband was arrested, he sent his wife back to Pakistan. They sent a lot of money back to Pakistan. I don't know how much you all know about Hamas, but it's basically the Pakistani version of the Muslim Brotherhood, which, of course, everyone around the globe, if you know anything about the Muslim Brotherhood, you've got a problem with it. So, the good news is, he is facing charges. The other good news is it is appearing that Debbie Wasserman Schultz may end up in this light as well. So hopefully I have brought you good news tonight. I want to end the week with some good news, because we hear a lot and we have a lot of bad news. And I think it is healthy that we focus on good news as well, so that we can help uplift ourselves, our spirits, and hope. Because hope is an important thing. You can't kill hope. And Satan hates it when you have hope. And so does a corrupt government. That's the one thing they can't stand. And that's why they try to squash you. That's why they try to make it to where they oppress you, to make you feel like you have no hope. Because if you have no hope, then you give up the fight. And we're in this fight for every individual. Go ahead.
Faith. Gotta have some faith.
Absolutely.
That's what it is. We got about 1 minute left. So everybody keep that in mind. And if Lori, you want to close it out, or if Gary wants to chime in. Chris, do you have any special words for us? I'm sorry we didn't get to you tonight much, but I do appreciate you. Chris is like our emergency reserve there. I know I can always count on him, and if he has anything to chime in and add. We got about a minute or two left, so if anybody wants to take that up, they can. Gentlemen, Lori?
Go ahead, Chris. Close us out for tonight.
Chris went to a noisy place. Good, I'm glad. Okay, so good. Okay, so that's okay. Chris was conscious that he was in a noisy spot, and he bailed out. So,
Well, let me just say this real quick then, because I'm going to put one more tidbit of information out there about this specific thing we were just talking about. This needs to be known by the public. Wasserman Schultz was prohibited from allowing Imran to touch anything that had to do with the House network after February the 2nd ban. But she kept paying him and providing him access to the office, she said, to have him work on quote-unquote printers and websites. Dameron would not say whether Wasserman Schultz thought he had connected to the network the laptop.
Do you think, speculate a little bit, who do you think was the most likely person he was passing that secret information onto at the phone booth drop, and or do you think he might have been left it there intentionally for the government because they maybe cut a deal and said, you accidentally leave the stuff there that we can look into this. We'll take that into consideration. Something
well,
to think about.
I know there's, yeah.
We're
going to
wrap it up. Come in and join us on Monday. We're going to be back on Monday so Lori can join us then. It's Eric, the Freedom Screamer on the RBN Network. Thank you, Gary in Michigan. Appreciate all you listeners.
Good night. Good night, folks. Good night.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Lori.
And as
see you next week, folks.
Watch your backs. Check the facts.
If I could only have you near to breathe a sigh or two, I would be happy just to hold the hands I love on this winter night with you.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.